Thank you very, very much indeed. You're welcome. It's really very nice for myself and my wife Claire to be here in this very different environment and to be back in Pretoria where we haven't been for 7 years. We're staying actually in Johannesburg at the moment, and I'm involved there with the Johannesburg Bible College, and they invited me over, and it's really good to be here with you tonight. And to be talking about this topic. For many years, I've been interested in the question of gospel origins. Or, to put it even more straightforwardly, in the question of Jesus and history. Are the Christian claims for Jesus, for example, claims that he was born of a virgin, that he walked on water, that he turned water into wine, that he healed loads of people, even raising people from the dead, that he himself was crucified and then came to life again. Are these claims in any way credible? What is the evidence? I actually live in Oxford at the moment, and I suppose I've lived in Oxford actually more than anywhere else in my life. And one of Oxford's famous atheists is the scientist Richard Dawkins, you may have heard about. And Richard Dawkins claims very vigorously that science is based on evidence, but religion just on faith. Now, Christians strongly disagree with that distinction, believing that their faith is based, above all, on the evidence that is Jesus Christ, not on faith without evidence. St. Paul famously says that if the resurrection of Jesus did not happen, then Christians might as well pack up and go home. But Paul thought there was very good evidence. Was he right? Or is Dawkins right that it's all a delusion? Dawkins has got plenty of people on his side who have questioned part or all of the story of Jesus. Some even denying that he existed at all, others doubting the most extraordinary parts of the story. Yes, there are Christian records for the story, the Gospels, but they were written quite a long time after the events. They're obviously highly partisan and untrustworthy. What would I say in response to that? As a preliminary observation, I would say that almost whatever your beliefs may be, it's very hard to dispute that something extraordinary happened in the late 20s, early 30s AD, in what we today might call Israel or Palestine. Something happened which changed the world. That something was to do with Jesus of Nazareth. The movement which he inspired quickly had a major impact on the world. And of course, actually, we wouldn't be here discussing it tonight if that wasn't the case. The notable Roman historian, oops, sorry, let's, what's going on? Oh, we're going backwards. Yeah. Wait a minute. Oh, I've got it upside down, that's all. The notable Roman historian Tacitus, reckoned by classical experts to be really rather a good historian, he wrote around the end of the first century, and he was writing, among other things, about the terrible fire which destroyed much of Rome in AD 64. And the Roman emperor at the time, Nero, put the blame on the Christians. brutally killing a lot of the Christians, as you may know. If you've been to Rome, you can see some of the sort of sites associated with that. Tacitus calls the Christians a deadly sect. That's one translation of the Latin. Another was a mischievous superstition, which rather suggests that Tacitus wasn't very sympathetic to the Christians. But he refers to the Christian movement's origins. He refers to Jesus and to his execution by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. So it's quite interesting to have this evidence about the Christian movement and its origins and its impact on the higher echelons of the Roman world, from somebody who was not a Christian, emphatically. But what did the first Christians say about Jesus, and can we trust what they said? By far, our most important sources for the history of Jesus are the Gospels of the New Testament. Their teaching about the birth of Jesus, about his amazing teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, his healings, his death, his resurrection, and so on. Well-known story, and probably very well-known to most of you. But is that account credible? Is it indeed what the first Christians were saying? Or is it a story which evolved over time into something quite different from the historical reality? Quite a popular view is that Jesus was a good Jewish teacher and faith healer, but not the extraordinary, miraculous figure that we now find in the Gospels. The Gospels picture has been seen as the product of religious imagination and creativity, written well after the events. It's not a trustworthy recollection of the real Jesus, or indeed of what the very first Christians believed and said. Now, that skeptical opinion is quite widespread, but I believe it to be wrong. I think, actually, that the Gospels give us a very good idea of what the Christians believed and said from the very beginning of the Christian movement, and a very good idea of what the real Jesus did and said. And I'd like to explain some of the things which persuade me. First, the Gospel's portrayal of the first century world in which Jesus lived and worked is thoroughly credible. We're not dealing in the Gospels with a fantasy world, as you are in the religious myths of various religions, or the imaginary worlds of the wonderful Narnia stories, or indeed the Lord of the Rings, in which you rightly said, of course, I featured prominently, or I would have done if I was the Australian David Wenham, so I'm sorry about that. I did once have a fan from Turkey who emailed me. I think she must have been very disappointed when she found. The world of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the real world of a province of the Roman Empire in the first century. Roman emperors like Augustus and Tiberius are mentioned in the Gospels, as are the local rulers of Judea, including the Herod family. They were a sort of family of warlords who got in with the Romans, very quite brutal and but powerful. Roman governors like Pontius Pilate, the high priest Caiaphas. These are real people. A very important witness on these matters is the Jewish historian Josephus, who lived and worked in the first century. He lived in Judea and in Galilee for a long time and wrote about the events of the first century. He refers to many of the same people who appear in the Gospels and to some of the same events, for example, about John the Baptist. Josephus, you can buy Josephus, I think, in Penguin still today. He wasn't originally published in Penguin. Josephus tells us very interesting things about the Herod family, including, for example, about Herod the Great, so-called. He was a highly successful warlord, as I said, who got in with the Romans. Josephus tells us about his building projects, including the amazing renovation of the Jerusalem temple that took place actually partly during the time of Jesus' ministry. He made it one of the wonders of the world. This is a model that you can actually see in modern Israel. We're told in the Gospels, it's very interesting, the Gospels describe Jesus and his disciples coming down from Galilee as pilgrims. And they come down and they come over the Mount of Olives, which is just next to Jerusalem, and look down, and you get an amazing view. I mean, the view you get these days, well, no, it isn't, sorry, we'll go back to that. I haven't got the view of the Muslim mosque and Muslim buildings. That's what you see now. But in Jesus' day, they'd have seen something like this. And the gospel tells us that the disciples said to Jesus, "What wonderful stones and wonderful buildings." And that comment is exactly what you'd expect from some Galilean fishermen and others who come down and they see it. Josephus tells us of the huge marble blocks and Josephus says roughly that it was one of the wonders of the world in the time. Still today, the temple was very, very utterly destroyed by the Romans. And if you go to Rome, you can actually see this arch celebrating the Roman victory, or rather, I say the Roman victory. The Romans ruled the country, but then in AD 66, the Jews rebelled against the Romans, and there was a four-year period of war and siege, which ended with the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And this, in Rome, the Arch of Titus, you can go and see it, and if you look at that arch, you will see on it there are reliefs, and you can see the Jewish prisoners carrying the seven-branched candlestick from the temple. This is real stuff, this temple, that is described in the Gospels, which Jesus and his disciples visited. Another interesting parallel between Josephus and the Gospels is that he tells us how Herod the Great was almost insanely jealous of any possible rivals to his power. You know, he'd got to power by brute force, effectively, and he was insanely jealous of any possible rivals. Josephus tells us that he killed his favorite wife because he thought she was possibly a threat to his throne. I think it's he who also tells us he was rather sorry after that. He killed three of his own sons because he thought they might be a danger to his throne. And it's just interesting. In the Gospels, I don't know if you remember the story, at the time of Jesus' birth, Herod is told that there is a new baby king of the Jews. And that was exactly what you'd expect Herod to react against that. And the Gospels say that he indeed sent to Bethlehem and killed the baby boys, Bethlehem being the place where a new king of David would be born. So just interesting parallels. Josephus tells us interesting stories about Pilate, the Roman governor, the messes which he got in with the religious Jews.